What we want to do today is we just want to go to God's Word, and we're going to be sharing from James 2, 1 through 13. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in your glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with golden rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you talk, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppress you. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And this is the word of our Lord.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. It's such a great joy to be with you this morning. I thank you for the invitation to be here. And in fact, I bring greetings from your sisters and brothers throughout the Middle East and North Africa. Perhaps you are aware that the Presbyterian Church is the most active and largest church in that region. On this same Sunday, a few years ago, I was worshiping in a church here in the United States. On a previous Sunday, the pastor said, "If you can come to the church on this Sunday, on the World Communion Sunday, please come with your national dress." So I thought, why not? I can come to the church with my national dress. I shared, although I don't wear that national dress at home, but I said I can find one. So I said to my wife and daughter and son at that time, "What do you think about that idea, to come next Sunday to that church on the World Communion Sunday wearing a national dress?" So I went home, and in fact, I got part of our national dress. I got this one. It's almost the same one. So I put it on my head like this, and I put this. And on that Sunday, I went to church. And you can imagine the surprise. My wife and daughter said to me, "Don't do it." But I went ahead, and to my surprise, my wife and daughter were right, as often. I was so embarrassed. Some avoided looking at me in the face. Others were so surprised of this Arab man coming to this church that Sunday. Others perhaps were thinking to call 911 or perhaps the counter-terrorism unit. But when the pastor, during the service, asked me to come forward and to share about Christians in the Middle East, and when he asked me to give the blessing at the end of the service, the whole atmosphere changed. We judge appearances. So I'm going to take this, so maybe not an FBI agent will think a terrorist is in this church, so put it aside for now. James shares with us today a story about a community gathering. Two persons enter this gathering. One is a very poor person. wearing dirty outfit. The other is rich, wearing expensive, shining outfit and a gold ring as well. The rich, as we have just heard, was given a prominent place in that gathering. The poor was asked to stand there or to sit down at my feet. Do we discriminate nowadays? I think we do discriminate more than what we often think that we are not doing it. I think we discriminate when we seek peace and security for our own nation and we export weapons and arms to other nations. I think we discriminate when we think of the human rights of the Arab Palestinians and we don't think and work for the justice and security of the people of Israel. We do discriminate when we view all Muslims as being terrorists. We do discriminate when our educational systems reward exceptional achievers and students and do not care much about those who are unable to perform as we expect them to do. We do discriminate, as we hear in one of the movies, the Bruce Lee movie. The mother was talking to her daughter. She said to her, "Are you really going to marry that Chinese man? And do you know what will happen if you marry that Bruce Lee, you know, the karate famous champion?" She said, "You will have yellow babies, and I cannot handle having yellow grandchildren." And she said, "And if you marry that man, you are going to live in China. How can I see my grandchildren?" And Bruce said to her, "No, no, no, we are going to live in the United States. You know, I am an American citizen." She said to him, "You are a citizen, but you are not an American." Do we discriminate? We do, in so many ways. So this morning, my sisters and brothers who are listening to James saying to us that such attitude and conduct of discrimination is inconsistent for Christians. He urges us to avoid such behavior by stating three facts. And if you can keep your scriptures open to page 229, I would appreciate this. So James is stating three important facts to us this morning. First, discrimination is inconsistent with God's character, verses 1 to 7. Second, discrimination is inconsistent with God's commandments, verses 8 to 11. And finally, discrimination is inconsistent with God's compassion and generosity. Let's go to my first point. Discrimination is inconsistent with God's character. Why is discrimination inconsistent with God's character? James cites three reasons in answering that question. The first reason is that God has chosen the poor. This does not mean that God has not chosen the rich, but he is making his point more vivid and sharp. God has chosen the poor. So we read in Deuteronomy 10, "For the Lord your God is the great God, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers." The poor, James says, might be poor from your own perspective, but rich from God's perspective. They are rich in their dedication to God and of their inheritance of God's kingdom. God chose the weak to shame the strong, we read in Corinthians. God chose what is low and despised as well. Many Lebanese suffered during the civil war in Lebanon because of the presence of the Syrian army in Lebanon for 29 years. So now, for the last 5 years, we in Lebanon are seeing a huge number of Syrian refugees coming to Lebanon. And these Lebanese, keep in mind, please, have been suffering from those Syrian army soldiers for 29 years. How they should treat these Syrian refugees? It has been a long struggle for the Lebanese people to treat in love and mercy those Syrian refugees. But the church, knowing that God has chosen the poor and that he loves the strangers, the church was able to do a great job in overcoming that prejudice that existed among the Lebanese in treating the Syrians. And if you come this morning after the service or this evening, I'll be talking more about that in that session. So the first reason is that God has chosen the poor. The second reason, God is the judge. And this is why discrimination is inconsistent with God's character. My friends, by exercising discrimination, we become judges. And James said, you become judges of evil thoughts. When I was doing my PhD as a Langham scholar, with support of John Ministry at that time in Britain, that was 20 years ago, I went to a medical facility for a medical checkup. When I went in and the receptionist took my name and my address, and she said to me, you know, you go straight to see the physician, to see the doctor, you go straight, and she said, do you know what do I mean by straight? Straight is you go this way. I said, okay. Then she said, then you turn right. This is your right hand, you know? You turn right. And then you count. You count one, two, three, four. And you go to room number four. And was I had in my mind the thought, you know, here I am. In 2 weeks, I'm getting my PhD from University of Nottingham. And this poor lady is just, she thinks that I don't understand English because I'm an Arab and my accent is not a British accent. But then I thought, maybe I am also a judge of evil thought. I think maybe that lady was so nice and kind. I mean, maybe she saw me as a stranger. Maybe she thought that I don't know any English. So maybe she was kind and helpful enough. But discrimination does exist. And sometimes we practice the role of being judges. And James, in his letter, two times he says that God is the judge and Jesus is the appointed one who will execute judgment and justice. So God is the judge, not us. And the third reason is in the fact that Christ should be our glory. And by introducing this thought of Christ is our glory, James is saying to us that in Jesus Christ we have seen the glory of God. How? Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. When we were in our sins and despair, he took our human nature so we can be partakers of his glory. James is saying to us, my friends, there are two types of glory. The one of Jesus Christ that we have seen it in him. And there is the glory of worldly values. And we have to choose one of them. Discrimination is inconsistent with God's character. And second, discrimination is inconsistent with God's commandments, verses 8 to 11. In directing our attention to the Old Testament, to the Torah, James points out to two important matters in this regard. First, he focuses our attention to one of the major commandments. And second, he emphasizes the unity of God's commandments. So first, he draws our attention to the cure of discrimination, which is in obeying God's commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor, the First Congregational Church across the street. Your Muslim refugee neighbor who came to the United States. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, he is quoting Leviticus 19:18. And Jesus did quote the same scriptures. So when he was asked, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbor. By the way, it's only James in the New Testament and Jesus who quotes both sides of the equation, loving God and loving the neighbor. It's only Jesus and James, they do that. So James is saying, if you love your neighbor, you are obeying God's major commandment. But if you discriminate, you become a transgressor. But he uses the plural form of transgressor, not the singular one. Why? Because he's pointing out to the whole community. So we as a community, when we do and practice discrimination, we are disobeying this major commandment. So after focusing on loving our neighbor, James proceeds to emphasize the unity of God's commandments. So we cannot pick and choose, James is saying, because all of God's commandments reflect his character and his will to us. The one God who gave these commandments wants his commandments to be kept in unity. But my friend, have you ever wondered why did James pick up these two commandments about adultery and murder? There are many other commandments in the Torah. So why did James choose to talk about adultery and murder in this context? I think as he was talking, his audience would say to him, okay, you are talking about adultery. We thank God. This is not our sin. And James would add, what about murder? Of course not. We are not murderers. But for James, discrimination towards the poor is to be regarded as an act of murder. After all, my friends, Jesus did teach that the prohibition of murder could be extended to include anger. And in fact, John the Apostle said, anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. So James is showing us the gravity of discrimination. If we commit discrimination, we are in fact murderers. Maybe these are strong words. And finally, we come to the last point. Discrimination is inconsistent with God's compassion and generosity. Verses 12 to 13. Jesus said once, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. My sister has a brother who left Syria when he was 17 years old and came to the United States to study. His English was very poor when he came to this country. So he was studying in one of the Christian colleges, and it was Christmas time. So one of his friends said to him, Z, where are you going to spend Christmas? He said, I have no idea. I have no one in this state to go for Christmas. So I'm staying in my dorm. She said, you cannot spend Christmas on your own here, so why don't you go with me to my parents' place so you can spend Christmas with us? He said, this is a good idea. Can you check with your parents if I can do it? So she phoned her parents and she said, I have a good friend. He has no place to go. Can he come with me over Christmas and spend Christmas with us? Her parents said, yes, he can. So he went with her to spend Christmas with her family. And my brother-in-law, tells me that as soon as her father opened the door, the father said to her, to him, where are you from? He said, I am Syrian, but I live in Jordan, and I'm studying here with your daughter. He said, so you are an Arab? And he said, yes, I am an Arab. And the father said to him, no way you can be under my roof. You go now. So his daughter said to him, but dad, I told you that I'm bringing my friend, and you and mom said, okay. He said, yes, but you didn't tell me that he is an Arab. She said to him, but he is a Christian. He's a committed Christian. And in fact, his dad is a pastor even. A Baptist pastor even, not a Presbyterian one. He said, no way. So he said to my brother-in-law, I will drive you to the town, to the bus station, and you find your own way to go back. It was Christmas, and that state is one of the coldest states in the United States. And my brother-in-law said to me, but I had no money. I couldn't speak English enough. I know only the address, the city, where is my college. I have been here 3 months only. So he just left him at that bus station, and he went home. So it took him 3 days, sleeping at gas stations, eating food sometimes from a garbage bin, until he reached the place. Discrimination. But on the other side, there is mercy. There were those who were very merciful and generous to my brother-in-law. So they helped him through his college years. They helped him to go through university. And then my brother-in-law became a mathematics professor at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee for 14 years. And then he went to Pepperdine Christian University in California as also a math professor. So there are those who discriminate. They don't show mercy. But there are those who show mercy, and they give generously. And James is saying to us that we have two options, my friends, to behave without mercy and face God's judgment, which is a serious matter, or to experience victory over judgment by being merciful now. And we have the choice to make. We can be merciful and escape God's judgment, or we can be merciless and face God's judgment. After I did my PhD a long time ago, I did a master in nonprofit management at a Jesuit university in Denver. During my study years in that program of Master of Nonprofit Management, I was really so impressed when I did a research on the generosity of the American people comparing with generosity of other nations. And I'm saying this as a fact that brought joy to my heart when I discovered how Americans are so generous, not just in their giving of finances, but also generous with their time, generous in their volunteering services. And I hope that this great nation will continue in this great tradition and heritage of being merciful and generous. And of course, I must say a thank you note for First Press here for your support for Langham partnership, because we at Langham Partnership, we focus on three areas. That is where we find potential for the church to grow, and when we see pressure on the church, and when we see poverty in the church. And remember that God has chosen the poor. The king will say on that day, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I was a Syrian refugee, and you came and supported me. My dear sisters and brothers, as much as we show mercy, as much as we exercise generosity, we are consistent with God's character. We are consistent in obeying his first or second command, loving him and loving our neighbor. May the grace of our God empower us, all of us, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you have chosen us. We thank you for your grace that is able to empower us to show mercy and to be generous. So, Father, we ask for the power of your Spirit that you may enable us to love justice, to be consistent with your character, obeying your commandments. In Jesus' name we ask, Amen.